Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, I'm here. Happy NBA team. Bad news. Within like 2 minutes of the recording of this, there was a technical glitch and our audio is just stomping over each other. So I tried to extract just at least our picks. So if this is a really short episode and it really seems really discombobulated, that's why. It is what it is. Sorry, but I did try to at least get whom he picked in the mock draft, just so we can be wrong, like we are every year with all our picks. I need to keep that streak going. But again, many apologies to everybody, most notably Mr. Reish. It's a shortened show. Sorry, guys.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to PTBN's NBA Team Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reish. I am joined by Adam Murray. Adam, big things popping, and we got a nice preview today.
Let's just get into it. No need to keep you waiting, because I know this is your time to shine. This is what you always look forward to. And, you know, previous years used to go for hours. I remember it'd be like the 2 hour point.
For the NBA draft, you're talking about, which is what we're going to preview today.
The 2 hour point, we're only through like the Big East of going through prospects of like, hey, this guy, he's going to play in Europe. Nobody's going to.
Yeah, I think we've whittled it down fairly well as we've kind of fine tuned things. But, you know, the truth is, like, a lot of the drama already happened about maybe, what was it, a month ago, the NBA draft lottery where the Pelicans won. And then the second pick was Memphis, and the third pick was the Knicks, and the fourth pick was the Lakers. I'm going to tell you the truth, Adam. We're kind of at a point because there's other events that we can talk about involving some of the picks. But it feels like there was an NBA landscape before the lottery, and now there's a new one after the lottery. Do you think that's just me being biased as a Pelicans fan because they won the number one pick? Or do you feel like that there was a bit of a seismic shift due to certain people falling in certain –
Of course you're biased.
Well, thanks. Let's just totally kibosh that whole point I just made, and you can just ignore it.
It was sort of the realization of, okay, we can't tank, and we won't get rewarded for it now, so we actually have to sort of figure out how to do stuff next year.
I think the biggest example of that was Chicago and Phoenix at 7-6.
The big thing was Phoenix and Atlanta. Atlanta had statistically the best shot with them and Dallas's pick. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. And they didn't bother to field any team whatsoever.
Not only that, they went out. They wound up lower than expected, I believe, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yep, and Phoenix was just terrible, as you heard from our previews, which I don't, you know, of course, as usual, the parts don't come out when they're supposed to. And, you know, the draft comes out earlier than...
Yeah.
Yeah. Than we should have, so... But, you know, we said how terrible Phoenix was, and
no,
they don't deserve to be rewarded.
Obviously,
for that.
The rewards go to the teams that got to the high point of the NBA draft, and the Pelicans went to number one. We already kind of know here. We don't need to go into breakdown of analysis. We could talk about the prospect himself. Zion Williamson is going to the Pelicans. That is no-brainer, open-shut case. How do you feel about Zion Williamson as a prospect? Like, what would you compare him to?
I don't know. He has crazy, freakish athleticism, but... He developed a shot in college, which he didn't have in high school, and that was sort of, you know, like, well, why wasn't he the number one recruit at high school? It's like, well, because he couldn't shoot for anything, and he was just, well, here's this, you know, kid who's going to be a little undersized, who just, you know, can jump out of the gym, but he can't do anything else. Now, all of a sudden, he has a shot, but the shot's NBA.
No, his jump shot's funky. That's why some people have compared him to Julius Randle, because he's got kind of that weird stop-and-start release when he gets into the paint, which is fine. If you're comfortable with that jump shot and you can be efficient and you have a high field goal percentage, which is what Zion had like a 70% field goal percentage or something like that in college. It was absolutely insane. But – obviously, he can take a three every now and then and make them. His free throw percentage isn't it has to improve. So that's sort of a touch on – that's a talk on his shooting touch. However, the athleticism is absolutely through the roof. I would say he's a more athletic Charles Barkley is what I would compare him to. Number two would be the Memphis Grizzlies. That would be John Morant, who's the top point guard by like a country mile. What do you think of Morant?
Morant is just he's really just De'Aaron Fox. Just from just the speed of the game to the game just I don't know, just reminds me of just mirrors it completely.
I've always compared De'Aaron Fox to John Wall. Morant's got some nice nifty moves, like obviously like Fox can shuffle his feet and get to the lane, he gets to the free throw line a lot. John Wall also is like a great shot blocking point guard. I don't know if Morant's got that game in him. We'll have to see. But I think Memphis is going to work out really well for them.
Well, either way, Memphis is getting rid of their they're getting rid of Conley. They wanted to get rid of him, and they kept him. I don't know why they really kept him.
Well, I think it had a lot to do with the contract around $30 million. I don't think that was a tradable contract.
But Memphis was going nowhere. There's nothing wrong with having Conley mentor him for a year. And, we can't find a trainer. You know what? We're just going to have him be a player coach. Because Conley has the right attitude about everything. No, he's not a Malcolm. He's not like a Rondo where he's like, when Lonzo Ball came in, I'm going to start. Screw him. You know, but Conley's like, I don't care. You want me to teach him everything? I'll teach.
Moving on to the scorched earth that is the New York Knicks. Obviously, you know, they have oodles of cap space that they can use.
That seems to be the thing is they're still hurt that they didn't get the number one pick. So they're like, yeah, we want to trade this. We want to trade out of this pick completely. We still think we're getting Kyrie and Durant. We don't care if they're out for a year. We have this weird vision. And at no point do they say, yeah, we want this kid. So they're like, come on, bring your offers in. It's up for grabs.
He's the number three.
RJ Barrett is a big guard, and he can move to the three if you have some sort. Well, don't forget, they have Moutier and Dennis Smith and Frankie Nikitalina and Alonzo Trier and seven other point guards on their team.
So what do the Pelicans do with the second pick in this high lottery?
I say they need a two guard.
The two guys that I would hone in on are Jared Culver from Texas Tech and DeAndre Hunter with Virginia. I'm sort of leaning towards Hunter.
I just said Hunter like immediately. I'm like, well, you know, you could say, well, they could reach for a big man because you're losing Randall, you're losing Davis, you're losing Sheik Diallo, who was restricted, somewhat limited, but they could trade out of this pick, but we're just going to assume that nobody's trading out of their picks. I just say they get Hunter because you have a team of Holiday, Hunter, Ingram, and Zion.
Well, you know, Hunter's there. Kobe White is a really good two guard, but you already have Jrue Holiday. So I don't know, that would be kind of repetitive. The next ones that you could kind of look at there are Darius Garland, and then they just dangle Garland out there for anybody who wants him. Moving on, we got the Cavaliers. Did not get rewarded for another horrendous season. You know, they've had a lot of luck with, Dan Gilbert and company getting those top picks. It didn't happen this time at number five. A lot of rumors here about Darius Garland, and then you can move Colin Sexton over to the two, who they got with their high draft pick last year. Like, you know, he was one of those guys that put up, like, a ton of points in high school. So, that's the next one down for Phoenix. Man, I don't know if Phoenix desperately needs a point guard, but, you know, I can kind of see it happening there. Or I can see Garland going to Phoenix. Just flip-flopping there.
I think Phoenix wants mm-hmm. Garland to fall.
Here's the truth, though. With the way, especially with the Pelicans moving up, there's a chance Kobe White will be gone by then. And then the Bulls have to move up to guarantee that they'll get him if they want him badly enough. I know Chris Dunn is there, kind of a similar type of guard, but
they have given up on him, and the mm-hmm. people want him out. And the thing about White is,
yeah,
he's more of a two than a one.
Let's kind of bundle the Hawks together. They got 8, 10, and they've got the number 17 pick, which they got from the Nets, which was sort of a cap clearing move by the Nets. But the Hawks get the draft pick in return. What do you think is the best need for them? And then who do you think would be ideal?
They need starters. You can't take best available if you have a team of Trae Young and John Collins. Well, we're going to take the best on our board was a power forward and a point guard. So what does that mean? No, you need to put starters on the court. And since you traded away – they traded away Torian Prince his last year. So they need essentially a 2, a 3,
Cam
and a 5.
Cam Reddish is a good pick because of the smooth offensive game he's got. He is very passive. That's one thing he's got to work on. I would take a rental on Dumbuya. I don't know if you feel the same way about the small – the kind of the wing forward from France, 6'9". But if you have three picks, I'm sure you could take a chance on one of them, unless you want to go down there at 17 and you want to pick Goga Batazi. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, you could pick Goga. You could pick Bol Bol. You could sort of go with your third, but makes sense. Yeah, Reddish exactly. And I say Hayes.
A Jared Allen clone. It's easy to say that because they both played at Texas, but he does remind me of Jared Allen. Who do you think the Washington's going to take? Dumbuya? Rui Hachimura.
I
really enjoyed him in college. It's hard to figure out Minnesota because I don't even know what their biggest need is. I guess it would be a point guard, right?
No, I think Minnesota's going to want to take another big because the Gorgie Dang. Okay. You can say, they need a big and they need a two. You'd want Clark.
Soda, rumored to go to the Hornets because of the Charlotte North Carolina connection that I think might be a potential to be like a sneak up in top four is Nasir Little. I can actually see Little go as high as where the Pelicans are picking. Miami. Let's go to Miami. PJ Washington?
I'm going to go with Kevin Porter Jr. He's been a late riser. The Deion Waiters experiment has been failing. I could see them doing something stupid like going for Bol Bol.
Well, this draft, let's be clear. When you're in the first round, it gets
garbage.
Little bit wonky. It does for all drafts, but in this case in particular, there's not like a super, super deep pool. That's why I feel like I'm bouncing a lot on this one.
Well, this draft, there's 1 through 3, which is all set. 4 through 7, you could kind of say are all
exactly.
set, and you sort of just
yes.
can move the names around. And then 7 to 20,
it's all over the place.
There is
okay.
zero difference. So, Boston, I don't know what they want. Boston doesn't know what they want.
What about Bruno Fernando from Maryland? Just in case you lose out.
You can say I don't know what they were rumored to talk about Clint Capella. They backed out of the Anthony Davis trade. They know they're losing Kyrie. You need a point guard or big. You're losing. You're potentially losing Hortford. You already don't have rebounding, so you can't waste your top pick. Sort of has to be
okay.
the safe one. Like, the third one is definitely the home run pick. The second one, you could sort of be like, okay, we'll take best available. You can't go best available on your first pick. The first pick has to be somebody.
What about Bruno Fernando from Maryland?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Did you just step over my line?
And we're back.
Oh, so we are back. We actually had a lot of important things other than the upcoming NBA draft that we have to talk about, Adam. Are you ready to tackle them?
Well, okay. Just let's get your AD stuff over with.
No, I want to talk about the NBA finals.
Oh, you want to save it to the end? Not a problem. The finals was In the end, they had to have two Hall of Famers go down and two of the top, you know, 10 players in the league in order for them to barely squeak out a victory. So
that, well, I wanted it to go first because I feel like the domino effect has started, not necessarily with the draft lottery and all that stuff with the Lakers and the Pelicans. It really starts here with Kevin Durant going down with the Achilles tear, then Klay Thompson in game 6 going down with an ACL tear. He was absolutely on fire, scoring 30 points before that missed dunk. First of all, it did not look like a dirty play to me. Did it look like a dirty play?
No,
to
it was just a defended play.
Yeah, Danny Green was just going for the ball, and he just landed wrong on the cross. But it feels like a lot of the after effects of what's going to happen in the NBA altogether will come forth because of what happened in this NBA Finals, which was won by the Toronto Raptors after an undermanned Warriors team just ran out of gas.
Well, it all essentially, you know, let's just put the dark cloud on it first. It all started when Boogie Cousins decided to join and then be like, well, I don't care if they're a super team. I'm going to take no money and go there. Ha 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 ha. Where they became the supervillains. So yes. There was just no sympathy. It's like, yeah, let's do their champions.
Well, I'm going to go further than that. I think that started when Kevin Durant signed in 2016.
When it Durant's... did, but this was the icing on the cake. And then, okay, now it's time for the silver clad. Toronto's just a great story. The fan base is there was no, you know, it's Canada, so they're all friendly. They're all cheerful. It's all, like, you know, good for them.
The weird thing, there's a couple of differences between, like, because a lot of people compare them to those kind of anachronism type of or anomaly type of championship teams over the years, like the Dallas Mavericks in 2011, the Detroit Pistons in 2004, which I think is silly because weren't the Pistons on a roll where they were, like, in the conference finals for, like, 6 straight seasons? So the idea that the Detroit Pistons just got lucky winning that one title against the Lakers in 2004 is just – I completely disagree with that. But coming back to the Raptors, do you feel like this is an anachronism? Do you feel like this is something where they just got really, really lucky for 1 year and they're not going to get back there?
Well, pretty much. The thing with the Raptors is, remember when Golden State won the first championship, everything came up positive for them. Every coin flip turned heads.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving got hurt. Kevin Love got hurt. Yeah.
The same thing as Toronto this time. You know, you traded DeRozan away. You got rid of your coach, which we said maybe it was a coaching problem. Maybe we need some new blood in there. He brings in Kawhi. Yeah, Green. Yeah.
You know, you bring in Marc Gasol.
You get Gasol. Gasol happens to be available. You're like, oh, really? We can get him? So nobody got injured. Everybody was healthy. Lowry didn't have his big mental breakdown where he decided to go 0 for 17.
Yeah, to, like, decompress, yes.
And, you know, their path to the finals was they made fairly easy competition of everybody. You could say, well,
it was bumpy against Philadelphia and where they were down 2-1, and then against the Bucks, they were an overtime away from being down 3-0. So I don't know about that one. I felt like they had a bit of a journey to go on. You know, that was what Kawhi said when they interviewed him after the finals. They said it's all about the journey, and that's the truth for all these players.
I didn't mean easy. I retract myself. I meant to say it was easy as in everything came up. Every time their back was against the wall, they were able. Okay. It wasn't like they went 4-0.
Well, yeah, Joel Embiid got tired. The other thing that happened was that the Bucks could not make a shot in the last couple of games of that
season. Yeah, you know, they had easy straight through. It's, you know, 4 bounces.
Yes. But, yeah, congratulations to the Toronto Raptors. I cannot take too much away from them. I know that the injuries are a factor in any playoff series, any NBA finals. It can be a determiner. But I do not want to feel like we're taking away from what the Raptors did. The Raptors did everything they were supposed to do.
Agreed.
And then we can get a little bit, because we're in a bit of a crunch here, to talk about the Anthony Davis trade, because it actually finally went through. I don't have enough time to really talk about the bevy of draft picks.
The floor is yours. I will let you. I will not interrupt you. You have your moment.
I feel like with the Anthony Davis deal, it was an eventuality. But what David Griffin decided is that they're going to just go ahead and mortgage – they're going to mortgage what the Lakers' future is and pin it back to their own – to the future of the Pelicans franchise. That's why they gave these provisions in there where they can actually defer a pick from 2025 all the way to 2026 if they feel like it. They're, you know, they're almost making the bet that the Lakers will not be able to sustain greatness.
But here's a quick two-part question. Are you happy? We're not talking about the picks. The picks are 5-6 years from now. That doesn't mean anything. Are you happy with the players they got? Question number one.
Yes, because they got Brandon Ingram and they got a backup point guard in the mix.
All right, fair enough. Question number two. If you're LeBron, why wouldn't you make this deal? He doesn't care about what's going to happen 6 years from now. He'll be retired.
LeBron doesn't care.
He has to make this trade.
This is a man who does not give a shit about how your team looks in the next 5 years. He wants to win now. He's 34 years old. He's got to win right now.
He has essentially 2 to 3 years left before things start falling off.
Well, look at Chris Paul. You know, Chris Paul's like a good example. He was a little bit – I think he's a little older than LeBron is. Am I right or wrong?
He's about the same age, 34, 35.
You see, and if you watch Paul, he's still good. But you can see the wheels falling off a little bit.
The wheels are. And LeBron, you know, this is the first time with an injury, and he bounced back slowly. And he's only going to get slower from here out. So he doesn't – you know, the same way he complained about Cleveland keeping the Brooklyn pick.
Let me ask you this question. Is this the first time in LeBron James's career that the best player on the team is not him?
Anthony Davis still isn't better. LeBron is still putting up numbers.
Is Anthony Davis better than Kevin Durant right now, since Kevin Durant is going to be on the shelf?
By default, anybody's better than Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant can't play for the next year.
Well, what about a post-Achilles tear Kevin Durant?
We don't know.
I hate to speculate that far, but that
he can be Paul George post injury, or he can be Hayward post injury. We don't know, so there's no point in speculating on that. The question is, you are very happy because New Orleans, according to you, swindled out of it. But LeBron got what he needs now, and they need to win this year or next year, right?
Yes, and they were able to keep Kyle Kuzma in the deal.
Well, no, because again, they had to. It was desperation, but they still have to do it in order for them to. In order for them to be competitive, in order for them, there's an opening now. Now that Golden State has multiple injuries,
The Warriors are putting their championship aspirations on ice.
Literally. Agreed. So, final thoughts.
Man, the Lakers are back in the mix, but I don't know how much depth they can surround themselves with. The Pelicans now have a great long-term future to go with Zion Williamson. And we have a pretty interesting NBA draft because I want to know what the Pelicans do with that fourth pick.
Alrighty.
All right. And that's going to do it. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Take care, everybody. We'll see you again.